welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and get started really with the Christmas story, but kind of really the beginning of the Christmas story in the New Testament. And this is really when the angel visits Mary to give her the good news of what's about to happen. And it said that the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So here we can see the famous visitation. Mary gets the word. She is going to have Jesus, the Savior of the world. But we notice here, too, that as Mary gets this amazing message, that she has a very good question in follow-up to this message. She said, "How can this be since I don't know a man?" It's a naturally good question, because in the natural sense, this is not possible. And the first one to acknowledge that is Mary. And so the Lord gives her an answer, but it's not a natural answer. It's a spiritual answer. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The power of the Highest is going to overshadow you. And the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So the answer to her natural question is a supernatural answer. Hence, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Christmas, as we celebrate it, is a supernatural event. This is not natural. It's supernatural. It's something that requires God, an intervention of God. And Mary's response was, "Let it be." Let it be, Mary. Mother Mary says, "Let it be. Let it be to me according to your word." Yes. She agrees with the supernatural. She doesn't fight it. She just says, "Let it be." And the thing that I love about the beginning of the story, of the Christmas story, is how it starts with a natural question, but a supernatural response to a natural question. And the thing about this time of year is that it's a different time than any other time of the year. And I don't just mean that, you know, for us as Christians, as believers. I just mean in general. There is something that is in the atmosphere of this world at this time uniquely that's not throughout the year. You know, a lot of times we're admonished as Christians, we need to celebrate Christmas. You know, it should be every day of the year, it should be Christmas Day. Yeah, I know, I get that. But that being said, there is something special about this time of the year in terms of the atmosphere and the things that are going on. And, you know, even I love how Mona Christensen, our missions person, shares with us how that in Myanmar, one day of the year, you can't proselytize, you can't evangelize, but one day out of the year, you can proclaim the gospel. Why is that? There's just some favor. That one day out of the year, they can do that. They can share. And you see this one-off stuff where things that can be very strict in our world about dotting I's, crossing T's, all of a sudden things to loosen up. And there just seems to be something in the atmosphere that changes. Mary asks a natural question. She gets a supernatural response. All of a sudden, the natural rules just don't apply. And we find that again, this time of year, there's something about that. Now, that being said, this kind of scenario, this kind of setup where you find another scenario setup where you find that natural rules don't apply, all of a sudden the limits can be taken off, comes from something, comes from a show that I have really enjoyed watching through the years. And I'll just get to the title of the message this morning. It's called The Christmas Zone. All right? The Christmas Zone. You unlock this door with the key of imagination, of a childlike faith. Beyond it is another dimension, a dimension of sound, the singing of Christmas carols, a dimension of sight, streets filled with Christmas lights, a dimension of mind where there's goodwill toward men. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Christmas zone. Now, in the twilight zone, you just can't think naturally because you step into a zone where anything's all of a sudden possible. You got to turn your natural reasoning and thinking off because you're going into another dimension. And there's something special about this time of year. And it's right about now. Right about December 20th. I mean, maybe even a little before. But it's not even just the day. It's all the buildup. It's this right now where we are. We're in that zone right now in this unique time and place in this world, in this atmosphere, where all of a sudden, the natural doesn't require a natural response. We're exhorted to go beyond our natural thinking, to go beyond our natural reasoning. And I know this is a time in Christmas time where there's a lot of commercialization and business industry capitalizes on this time in a financial way. But this morning, we're going to capitalize on this time in another way. We're going to capitalize on this time to inspire faith of things that are in this dimension. The angel told Mary, that's Twilight Zone stuff. You know, that's just never been said before. That's never even thought of before. There's another dimension, a dimension of the supernatural that comes on the natural, that changes everything. So we're going to take a trip into the Christmas zone where the answers to natural questions are not answered. They're not natural. They're supernatural answers. It's a dimension that's beyond your natural reasoning. We're going to see some really amazing, solid, scriptural, true things that we know are true that are only found, especially this time of year, we'll say in the Christmas zone. One of the things that's in the Christmas zone that you just don't see all year round is what we would simply call permission to believe like a child. There's something about this time of year. When we're in the Christmas zone, all of a sudden, we get bombarded with, you know, movies and a lot of things that'll encourage us to not lose that Christmas spirit. I think it's the Polar Express is a good one along those lines. You know, a lot of times there's this something, that it's the ringing of the bells. And you ring a bell, and it's just a little kid that can hear the bell. And when they grow up, they can't hear the bell anymore. See, there's an innocence of a child. There's an innocence that a child has. Jesus put it this way. They brought a little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Don't forbid them to come, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not listen to this." This is a supernatural answer here. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Entering into the kingdom of heaven, there is, in this time, there's a permission to believe like a little child. And a lot of the movies, a lot of the shows, a lot of it has to do with believing. believing something that requires, if you can believe it, you can see it. And in the, again, whether we kind of take the Polar Express example, not everybody hears the bells. Some of it hear, some of them don't hear. The ones that hear are the ones who believe. Jesus, or actually this is a prophecy fulfilled, we see in the book of Acts. He says, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear not, and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their eyes are hard of hearing. Their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand and their heart should turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. You know, Jesus, several times as he's ministering, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. There are words you can speak that everybody can hear in a natural, audible way. But only certain people can hear in their heart. And this is the time of year where we are almost in this Christmas zone, where we are not only allowed, but we're encouraged to have childlike faith, to believe in the Christmas spirit, to believe in something we can't see with our eyes, something that would be almost absurd in our natural thinking, that would defy the laws of probability. Okay, here's another one. I'm going to be throwing out some different Christmas movies and stories that some of you might be able to latch on, different ones. The Santa Claus, I believe it is. That one, Tim Allen one. And he's got his son Charlie, and his Charlie's hanging out with his stepdad. And his stepdad takes a globe and says, Charlie, now think about this. Really. I think you might have a little Santa figurine or something. How could one man, Charlie, possibly deliver these free gifts to every single person in the world in a day? Is that possible? Therefore, it's through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man, his righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. We're permitted in this Christmas zone season to have the childlike faith, to believe something as outrageous that one man could deliver a free gift to everybody in the whole world in a day. We believe that. We have permission to believe as a child. It's something we do believe in. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that the gift he gave was for everybody, and he did it. Can you hear the bells, though? Can you hear the bells? This sound, this gospel goes out to all the world. And those who can hear the bells of this gospel. Now, what did Jesus say? How many people that can hear the bells of this have to receive it as a child? How many? He said, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God will by no means, whoever. Now, there's a lot of cool backstories, I understand, of Christianity. There's a lot of cool apologetics, people that are intellectual, they discover things. But at some point, even in the natural, there's a trajectory of evidence. But at some point, without seeing, you have to step into a place of faith and believe. And there's something about believing, isn't there? Man, it's not just what you believe and what you experience and that little glaze in your eye and the warmth in your heart and the peace of God, but you see it in your brother and sister in Christ, and they got it too, and they got it too, and they got it too. And you know what I'm talking about. There's people you can bump into. All you know is they're believers. You don't know anything about them, and they can know you better than people in the natural who might have known you your whole life. There's something there. There's this story. There's a permission to believe in the Christmas zone. There's permission to believe as a child. And that's exactly what our Christmas story is about. We're believing as a child, and as we believe as a child, we enter in. There's a decision to believe something that our natural mind, Mary's natural mind, couldn't fathom. But let it be to me according to your word. And we get that same inflection point here, where what is Christmas to us? Man, We have eyes to see. We have ears to hear. Jesus came. He died on that cross for my sins. And if I believe in him, I'm forgiven through that. Does that just sound like a fairy tale? Does it sound, or can you hear the bells behind that? Can you hear that? No, this is true. And you hear the gospel, and you hear that message that God loves you, and my sin was on that cross. And I say, let it be. Let it be, Lord, to me according to your word. Let that forgiveness of sin be to me. What am I doing? There's a childlike faith. There's a Christmas zone where I'm just choosing to believe. God loves me. God is for me. So that's really how we start out in the Christmas zone. That's step one. We really believe that one man can go into all the world and give a free gift, that he did it. And we believe it. And it's amazing in the natural child who, in that story, they'll figure out there's a childlike faith in Jesus, that that's the childlike faith that's going to believe and see this story. God chooses to do things in humility. You know, from the birth of his son to the way we believe and to the way we come into the kingdom. We all come into the kingdom through that humility of a child. The next thing that we find in the Christmas zone, not only do you have what we call permission to believe, like a child, but also in the Christmas zone, a heart can change. And let me qualify it even more. A heart can change, your heart can change. Your heart can change. You know, it can be actually easier sometimes for us to believe that somebody else's heart can change than our own heart can change sometimes and things. Your heart can change in the Christmas zone. A heart can change. I think one of my favorite Christmas movies I like to see this time of year too is the A Christmas Carol, and I like the 1938 version of the Christmas Carol. And you know, it's pretty quick. I mean, I like a lot of different versions of it, but that's probably my favorite. It's only like an hour 15 minutes. It's quick. It's easy to watch, and it's succinct. And I've really enjoyed it. But one of the things that you are so uplifted by in the story of A Christmas Carol, so you got this guy who's just so greedy, money, notoriously greedy, money-minded. And he's visited with some ghosts of Christmas ghosts of past, present, future. And in the course of that story, his heart is changed and is softened. And at the end, when he comes through that final experience of the Christmas ghost of Christmas future, he is just sweet and loving and benevolent and kind. And that's probably one of the most powerful things that we enjoy this time of year, is watching a heart change. Watching a heart go from one state to another state. Well, we're going to read a story here. In this story, Scrooge is a chief tax collector named Zacchaeus. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going past that way. Then Jesus came by, and he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. The Holy Spirit of Christmas past, present, and future. I must be a guest at your home today." You could say Jesus invited himself over. He did. You know, in the story of Scrooge, Scrooge wasn't asking for it. He just came on him. And Jesus is going to this guy. He said, "Yeah, come down. I'm coming. You're getting visited." And Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. Apparently, this guy had a reputation. He was the Scrooge. He'd gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. All right, this is the Scrooge of their day. They grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much." And Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. God bless us, everyone." God could come and change the heart of a notorious, greedy chief tax collector that people knew had a reputation, were mad that he even went to see this guy. And by the end, He was a new man. There was something about the Christmas zone, the visiting, where God could change a heart in a moment of time like that. Pretty amazing to see. And as we look at this time of year and this season, we're inspired by stories of change. We're inspired by how the Christmas spirit, something happens in this Christmas zone, this time of year where we just, I mean, not just little communities, as a world, we can celebrate. We have permission to celebrate a changed life in a supernatural way. In the Christmas zone, a heart can change. Your heart can change. I want to take this little story and bring it down to us here today. Paul, writing to the Galatians, said, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Again, this time of year, we're getting ready to round the bend not too long from now to that New Year's event and the New Year's resolutions. We're trying to get all the stuff right with us again, you know, all those tweaks and things that we need to jerk the slack out and all that kind of stuff, kind of out ahead of Christmas. But this Christmas season, in this Christmas zone right now, I want us to have that same let it be unto me childlike faith that can see and believe my heart can change. It might be a heart change as it relates to money. It could be a heart change as it relates to seeing yourself free from an addiction or in a relationship, seeing a changed heart. Seeing that hardened, notorious Scrooge become you, becoming this benevolent, free-spirited, appreciative, grateful person that's been changed in the Christmas zone. What do we see here? And I pull the scripture out for a reason. Because this is the point, a lot of times, where we can feel like, I can't change. I know this is true. There's areas in my walk with the Lord that I'm still struggling with. There's areas in my walk with the Lord that I'm having a hard time with. And I know if I walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I know that. I know that I won't, and I'll get victory over it. I want to put to death the deeds of the body, and I want to get victory. Can I really change in this area? Can I really change in that area? Can I really change? Can that Scrooge part of me really become the new guy, the new person? And I pull the scripture out here for a reason. Because a lot of times when we're having failure in our Christian walk, we believe and we come to the erroneous conclusion that we just don't have enough self-discipline in that area to have victory. And this is where we need the Christmas zone. You know, the scripture doesn't say, walk in self-discipline and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you know your victory over the flesh has nothing to do directly, initially, with self-discipline? In fact, when you read down the fruit of the Spirit, the very last thing as part of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Self-control is a fruit of walking in the Spirit. You don't start with self-control. You start walking in the Spirit, and you get self-control to overcome. We can't get the cart before the horse. I've got to have discipline, and I'm failing in my discipline, and I don't want to. But there's really, it's not a failure of self-control. It's a failure to just not get in the Christmas spirit. You got to get in the Christmas spirit to get the self-control, to get victory. Walk in the Spirit. It's not a failure of self-discipline this time of year. You know, this is, they'll kind of touch on another area. For all of you who like the Hallmark romantic stories this time of year, watch those, all right? Now, I can sit down and enjoy a few. It's just my mind, I kind of got the end figured out. You know, you watch, I won't say you've seen one, you've seen them all, but I'd say you can see one, you might have seen 30%, and you see another one, you might have seen another 30%. But here's one of the very classic ones. You get the workaholic, the city workaholic, right? and they're burned out. They're not appreciating their family and all that. And what do they got to do? They got to come out to the country, and they got to see those simple folk. And they're just the beautiful winterscapes and the breeze, and maybe on that sleigh, and, you know, just taking in the ambiance. And got to get away from it all for a while. And to hear the singing and to see the lights. And what are they doing? They're just getting in the Christmas spirit. They're getting in a spirit of Christmas, of simplicity. And they're recharging their batteries. And they're just getting revved. And they're going from workaholic mode to just getting in the spirit again. Before we ever get to our New Year's resolutions now, you can't put the cart of self-control ahead of the spirit of walking in the spirit. Walk in the spirit. It's not just that walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the spirit and you bear the fruit of the spirit. Walk in the spirit, you bear the fruit of self-control. And that's where I've had to do some things too, where I've realized this is bigger than self-control. I got to get in the spirit again. You got to get out of your spiritual workaholic mentality sometime. Pull aside in the Christmas zone. Just get in that spirit of Christmas. Get in, just stop and take some time. You know, the old adage, stop and take some time to smell the roses, but it's stop and take the time to sing the carols and enjoy the season and remember who you're celebrating. Just enjoying some time and just recharging your batteries is a beautiful, sweet, spiritual. And this is what where Paul puts it this way later. He says, he's enabled us to be ministers of this new covenant. This is a new covenant, not written law, not a covenant of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. We're talking about God can change a heart, your heart. For the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we're changed into His glorious image. There's a changing we can experience. Again, where are areas where I can see where I'm Scrooge and where I need to become that new man, that change? That change is possible in this Christmas zone. And there are some times when we have to workaholic ourselves, take ourselves by the workaholic neck and say, hey, I can't do this with self-discipline. I need something bigger than self-discipline. The Spirit gives life. It's not just a rat-tat-tat obedience to a conduct of code. It's a newness of spirit going on here. And in the Christmas zone, we can get refreshed and say, yeah, I don't just need to do better. I need to get in the spirit. I need to get in the Christmas spirit so I got the strength of self-control so that I can do better. But first things first, it's walk in the spirit, getting full of the Holy Spirit, getting powered up, strengthened in the Spirit of God so that we have the strength to do what we know to do and get out of that workaholic rat trap, you know, that we can't seem to get out of. Amen. In the same way we can see that in those Christmas Hallmark movies, we got to see it in our own lives spiritually with God. Okay, yeah, am I a work in progress? Do I got stuff? Yeah, but let's get in the Spirit first. Let's walk in the Spirit. You know, Paul told Timothy, you know, we love to quote that scripture, you know, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind or self-discipline. It's a spirit of self-discipline. But before he says that, in 2 Timothy 1:6, he says, stir up the gift of God that is on the inside of you. For God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So what is that walk in the Spirit? It's stirring up the Spirit. It's stirring it up. Again, get in the Christmas spirit. Watch those movies that inspire change. Sing those songs. Purpose to get in the spirit. And that's all we do. Like even this morning, just worshiping God. I'm just getting in the spirit because the power of self-control is in the spirit. So I'm going to get there and let that work change and strengthen me so I can get victory. But first things first, God can change a heart, your heart. There may be areas where you just have written yourself off as Scrooge in that area. No, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can change your heart too. Don't make the erroneous conclusion that it's a failure of self-discipline. It's not. That comes out of the Spirit. That's why we need the power of the Spirit. We need the power of getting in the Christmas spirit, the Christmas zone. That's where the ability to do what we need to do, it comes from. So, again, just an exhortation to any of you spiritual workaholics out there that have found yourself burnt out trying to live right. Get back in the Spirit. Get back in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then finally, it's never too late. Your life matters. And man, you know what? I wonder if I've got that. You know what? I didn't change my... I changed that that slide. So I'm going to tell you what it should be. I mean, it's, in essence, it's the same thing, but it's a wonderful life. Your life. It's a wonderful life. In the Christmas zone, it's a wonderful life in the Christmas zone. Your life is a wonderful life in the Christmas zone. All right? Oh, it changed. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Wow, that's just amazing. It is. I'm not even going to ask. Let it be to me, Lord. According to your word. You know? There's another dimension. All right. It's a wonderful life, yes. Your life matters. So, and again, this is, you know, for me, this is probably one of my favorite little classic movies of all time, too. And a lot of you guys I know have seen it, but just the story of George Bailey and his life and how he thought he was going to do great things, amazing things, and he gets stuck in this little town of Bedford Falls, and he can just never seem to get out of this little town. So he just takes over his dad's business, this little old building and loan, and just working hard and, you know, not glamorous, not glorious, certainly not being, you know, well-known, and he's a really talented guy and just seems like he should just really be able to go places, do big things, and he just can't get out of this little town. And so he kind of gets to that point in his life where he just, you know, something happens to him financially and he's just ready to throw it all away. He's just saying, forget this, I'm done. And he gets this little guardian angel. A lot of you know his Clarence. He's kind of this clunky little old guy. And, you know, George looks at him and says, yeah, it's about the kind of guardian angel I suppose I would get, you know. You know, it kind of fits his life and how things are going. And he's just talking it out with Clarence. And he just finally says, you know, I just wish I'd never been born. And he says, oh, you shouldn't say things like that. And then Clarence gets the idea, hey, I'm just going to show him what his life would be like if he was never born. And so he's able to show George what his life would be like if he was never born. And all of a sudden, throughout this movie, you see these little random acts of kindness and gestures and things that he does. And all of a sudden, you see the powerful reverberation effect that his life really had, even though in the natural he just saw himself stuck as this little clerk, you know, running this little business and loan business. He was able to see how he literally had impacted the culture, the climate, the atmosphere of his entire town. And people from that place who went on to affect the war and globally, I mean, you just have a hard time. I mean, the point of this little story, It's a Wonderful Life, and Clarence kind of summarizes it well in a statement. He says, you see, George, you really had a wonderful life. It's amazing how one man's life touches so many other lives. And when he isn't there, it leaves an awful hole. See, George, you really had a wonderful life. And so the essence of the story is like, your life really matters. It's not about how many likes you end up getting, you know, in a broad global scale. It's the little things you do in humility that you feel prompted here and there that you've done that are reverberating. And the, let's see here. I might have lost my deal here. There we are. Yeah, the Apostle Paul says in Corinthians, he says, "So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. You know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." Do you know that anything you've ever done for the Lord is still reverberating? And mostly reverberating in ways you can't see. There are people you have blessed, spoken into, that you've forgotten about. But that word and that impact, man, always work enthusiastically. Nothing, here is one of these all-inclusive statements again, nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Wow. You really have a wonderful life. And you know what? Not only is that true, but the Lord, in another place, he almost doubles down on this. And he says, "For God is not unjust and will not forget how hard you've worked for him and how hard you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do." You know, it's one thing to say what you do matters, but God isn't unjust to forget. All right, I think the Lord has a word. I just sense, even especially for somebody watching live stream, you may have had the worst 2020 of your life. You may have gone the complete opposite direction. This, and I know the isolation, I know the stuff that we've all been going through, but the Lord wants you to know he hasn't forgotten all those things you've done. He's not unjust. And everything you still do greatly is powerful for the kingdom of God. Don't let 2020 define who you are. It's not. It's not just what God has done through you. Saying, "Yeah, well, man, God really moved through me 5 years ago, but man, I've really kind of been in a slump the last few years." God remembers what you did for him 5 years ago. It's powerful. There's goodwill toward men that came by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. God has goodwill toward you. He doesn't forget those things that you've done for him. Your life is reverberating. It's impactful. There's an enemy that wants to shut you down, saying, "Stop this. Don't you see? Checkmate. Come to that conclusion. It's not working. It's not." Your life is powerfully reverberating. And nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. It's having those George Bailey Christmas zone. In the Christmas zone, we can go there. Our life matters. Every person you've ever spoke to, everything you've ever done, my goodness, it's there. It's happening. Don't let this year define who you are and how much you really love God. Yeah, we've all been through some stuff. But I'm telling you what, no matter what you go through, no matter what this life throws at you, there's something in this life can throw a lot of stuff at us. Jesus said in this life, we're going to have tribulation. But here's what we got to remember about our George Bailey lives and the things that we're going through. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? It's a big word. Or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, or dark rulers of the heavens. There's nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Again, life can and has thrown things at me that have made me mad and angry and bitter and even hateful. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing life can throw at you that can separate you from the love of God. And in the end, when you know that's true, and you're in the Christmas zone, and George Bailey was in his Christmas zone, and he was at the point of his frustration, he was ready to end it all, he was on that bridge, ready to just jump, just to throw it all away. And he realized at that point, no, a few things. God still loves you, no matter where you're at. And not only does he still love you, but he remembers everything you've done for him. And you need to know. George Bailey needed to know at the point of his failure and his defeat that those good things he had done were still reverberating. What he had done has mattered, has had good impact. And there's a reason to live, to do more for God, to serve him. And sometimes we got to get this waking up experience in the Christmas zone. Because this is the time of year when you see a movie like this and you realize that, yeah, spiritually, that's still true of me. There's things I've done, but you want to know what? He wants you to know nothing you do is ever useless for him, and he doesn't forget what you've done for him in the past and what you're still doing for him. So be encouraged this morning. The Christmas zone is a unique time, and it's kind of captured in this magical time. The world will call it the Christmas spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is the Christmas spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit is the supernatural response. How can this be the Holy Spirit? How can I believe something that's one man, really, going to cover the whole earth with a gift? Yeah. Jesus said it would be strictly a children's story. You have to hear it as a child. You have to humble yourself as a child. In the same way, he was humbled. He didn't come in royalty. He came where they just had to kind of figure out a place to put him and have him born. He came in humility. And there's that childlike humility that can hear the bell, that can hear the sound, that has ears to hear what would seem too good to be true, but it's not. That gift is delivered to the whole world. A heart can change in the Christmas zone. Your heart can change. No matter where you might feel like you got some Grinch areas in your heart, the problem is not discipline. It's not self-discipline. Discipline comes from the Christmas spirit. It comes from getting in the zone. You got some problems? Get in the spirit. Get in the Christmas spirit. Stir up the spirit. You'll find that self-discipline's in the power of that spirit you stir up. Getting our heart focused right. A heart can change. And you know what? It is a wonderful life. Your life is a wonderful life. You are going to stand before the Lord someday, and he's going to reward you according to those deeds done in the body. And part of your reward is being able to see, like George Bailey could see, all the blessed ramifications of what you did for a person that you didn't even realize, forgot you did. Praise God. That's the Christmas zone. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you today in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this time. We know this is a time that... there's a lot of special things about this time. And I just pray, Father, that as we are in this Christmas zone, this era, this time, that we can just fully grasp, appreciate just the good things your Holy Spirit is doing. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in Jesus. I hear the sound of the gospel. And as a child, I receive it humbly. Let it be to me according to your word. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And I thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit that can change a heart. It changed Zacchaeus' heart. It can change my heart, my attitudes that need to soften. Help me to see the problem is not with me, with my discipline. I need your spirit. I don't serve in an oldness of the letter. I serve in a newness of spirit, where I stir up the spirit, and it's the spirit's strength that gives me the ability to forgive, to love, to turn the other cheek, to be gracious, to walk off from things that are flesh. It's your spirit that gives me the ability to put the flesh under. Thank you for your spirit, Lord. And I thank you for my life, for my Bedford Falls, and the things that you call me to do here. They matter. You're using them. You're changing lives through what I do. Thank you for my life. I declare this morning, I see that my life is precious, and I will live it for you, Jesus, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're coming through the Christmas zone this morning, today, through these days. And as we do, just see it. Let it be an occasion. Again, like we said, this is kind of the commercialization. You use this as a big opportunity for business and commerce. Well, we're using it as an opportunity too. All these wonderful little shows and movies and things that we like to see, using it as an opportunity to inspire our faith, to recalibrate. We've got spiritual insight the world doesn't have. So we of all people should be able to see this time of year in a way that blesses us, encourages us, and helps us sync us up with our wonderful, loving Savior, Jesus. Praise God, who gave himself for us.